Drew Rosas, welcome.
Thank you
for coming in. What kind of name is that?
That's a Spanish last name, actually.
Okay. The way you pronounce it sounded Spanish.
Yeah.
Rosas.
I'm 1/8 Spanish.
Okay.
From Mexico, actually.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Cool. But that's not why you're here.
No.
You're here because you directed, wrote, produced a movie called
Rocky Trails.
Said that together. Very good. Not harmonizing, but almost. Rocky Trails. Made it in Wisconsin. All Wisconsin crew, actors, everything. Made it for probably as much change as I have in my pocket. Well, Aaron's got a lot more change than I do. But made it for very little money.
Yeah, it was made really, really cheaply.
Right.
And that was sort of something I set out to do from the start, just to kind of have control over it. Also, just everyone that helped out just gave their time. And I pretty much got my crew and my talent by buying a lot of Subway sandwiches and, you know, reimbursing gas mileage and stuff like that.
It's a wonderful pool of talent here who are very willingly give you that time if they can afford it, if they don't need to do their commercial shoot or whatever.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible. The tricky thing about that is that instead of being able to shoot a normal style production, say over 14 days,
right,
long hours, and just hammer it out, when you're working with people that are donating time, it becomes this huge task to coordinate everyone's schedules. And that was probably one of the hardest things I had to do was to be a coordinator on this project as well and just get everyone's work schedules in school and find help when I needed help and, you know, coordinate all my scenes. And I actually had to, like, rewrite some of the movie around people's schedules at certain times.
Yeah.
Or, you know, make it work.
Right, yeah. Yeah, you do. Because, I mean, I understand completely.
Yeah.
Because you shot it over a period of 3 months, but did you shoot just weekends?
Yeah, it was mostly weekends. It really depended on people's schedules. I mean, I would spend all week. I was working all 7 days. I took off work
right
for 3 months and made this my full-time job. And so I would spend 5 days during the week coordinating everything, rewriting, watching footage and planning and organizing everything. And
right,
then we'd shoot mostly on the weekends.
Right.
And get everyone together. So pretty much I would do it scene by scene or shoot by shoot.
And it's a lot of it's outside, so you've got to get the weather all matched up if
right,
you're doing right. And then you edited it. I always have trouble saying that word. I want to put an extra ED.
I cut the film.
You cut it. Yeah.
Myself.
You cut it yourself at home on your Mac.
On a Macintosh laptop.
Final Cut Pro.
Final Cut Pro.
Right.
And I use a lot of After Effects at times too.
Yeah.
For some different special effects.
So you mixed it yourself too at home?
Yeah. I just have sort of my own little audio setup where I do some.
What camera did you use?
I shot the whole film on the Panasonic HVX.
Okay.
Just with the onboard lens. Didn't have any special lens adapters or anything like that.
It's got a very interesting look to it, I think.
Uh-huh.
I watched it and because it's set in 1986 or 89.
1989.
And it's I think I can say this without being a spoiler, but it's a horror movie.
Yes.
Horrible things happen in it. Anyway. I mean, horrible things that happen in movies. But there's a kind of it feels like it was made in 1989 in a way. I mean, it has a kind of there's a look to it that's very 89.
So. Right, and that's all really part of the intention
that's
of the
conscious,
whole film.
Right.
And what I was thinking is because I knew I was going to try and make a feature, I made a lot of shorts.
Right.
Went to school at UWM and made
okay
a lot of projects there and then did some after I graduated. And I just kind of needed to take the jump to feature length. And knowing that I wasn't going to necessarily have the funds and the budget to do it right, that's kind of why I started thinking about that genre and not just the horror genre, but the vintage 80s style
right
horror genre, which is a really, really specific style.
Right.
And, you know, I was attracted to that because it allows for me to have certain flexibility with stuff. I can use non-actors and kind of get away with it more and use my friends because a lot of those movies were shot that way.
Right.
And
yeah,
that
was
that
a style that grew out of necessity, as it does grow out of.
Right. And it's sort of putting myself in the same sort of situation that a lot of those 80s directors, no-name directors, put themselves in,
right,
and the result, you know, hopefully comes to the same sort of a project in the end, or same kind of style.
Right. Frankie Latina, I think, does the same thing with Modus Operandi.
Yeah, Frankie's a good friend of mine.
Right. I noticed his name is in the credits, along with Brian Plato, who's also in it. Is Vinny Bassese, Carlo Bassese in there somewhere?
He helped out.
Yeah.
Vinny helped out. He gave me a bunch of equipment from time to time to use, and he came on set
a few times. He's like St. Carlo, St. Vincent to me, because he gives to everybody constantly.
He's really a great person in the city and the film community here.
Yeah.
Yeah, I pretty much tapped into everyone I could... Everyone I knew and everyone I could get to come and help out and throw in a couple hours here and there, and it's just really a huge community effort of people.
And is it all non-actors, or any of them think of themselves as actors? Or
Hopefully I've inspired some of them to become actors now.
There's some pretty good, some nice
I don't think Ryan had really done too much acting before, but...
And hopefully he'll do small parts like that.
Nick Summer, who kind of plays one of the main characters, Craig Wilson, he's sort of the mullet-wearing... bad wardrobe, misogynistic character in the film, sort of that classic 80s character.
Right.
And he's actually a film director that ended up acting in some of his own work because he couldn't find anybody else who would donate their time. And so I found him, and he's actually, in the wake of this film, been asked several different times to do more acting for people.
Oh, yeah.
So it's sort of jump-started his acting career, right. Although I think he still kind of thinks of himself as a director. Really.
Right. Now, UWM has a reputation for having a focus on experimental film and not on narrative. In fact, there have been some people who claim that they're sort of anti-narrative. I know Robbie Ayo, and he says that that's not true, and it's true. I don't think it is. I think they're really making an attempt to get more narrative. But did you find it difficult to make the step into narrative?
When I was at UWM, I did a lot of experimental work. Because I liked it, and I also did some narrative work there too.
Okay.
And I think that there is a push towards experimental film, and I think that has to do with a couple reasons. One being it's one of the last sort of safe havens for that type of filmmaking.
Right.
And I think they really treasure that. But really, and they will expose you to a lot of really experimental work early on, and I think a lot of that has to do to sort of weed out the people that are there to be Steven Spielberg or Francis Coppola.
Right.
And you sort of...
What's wrong with Francis Coppola?
No, nothing's wrong with him, but really,
good.
Once you get into the program...
We're going to end this right now.
Oh, no, I love his work. Okay. But I think they cater towards a different style of filmmaking, and rather than it maybe experimental film, it's more sort of DIY filmmaking at a certain level. Unlike a normal film program where you would sort of decide right away, I'm going to be an editor, and that's your direction, and that's your field... UWM focuses on giving you the skills to do every part of the process, which is really what I'm still using, even though I'm making narrative now.
Right, right. Because you said earlier, you did all the jobs. You do all the
jobs. I really had many hats in
right.
this film.
Now, it's an interesting thing, because I've run a program, and I've worked with a lot of people from UWM, and it's always amazing that they do, and just most of the filmmakers here are capable of and will do all the jobs if you need them to. And my effort has been to try to give them some of the other people to make their job so they can focus and more do just like the directing, whatever that is. Is that interesting to you now? I mean, are you not tired of doing all the jobs, but would you like to have a cinematographer too and an editor?
Yeah, no, and I had actually Michael Kubizak worked on Rocky
That's
Trails,
right.
and he did a lot of the camera work for me
okay.
and a lot of the cinematography. I did a lot myself too.
Right.
But I mean, and I really, really appreciate that. And I like having people there. The problem is that I found is that a lot of times it's one of these things where, it takes a lot of work and a lot of effort. And I'm the only one that's really going to be that inspired and that, big of a push
it's your
for
idea.
It because it's my project.
Right.
So, you know, I mean, if there was more money and if I could afford to, you know, budget and, hire a really good director of photography, I'd love to do that and focus myself more. I'm working on a new project, actually, and I'd like to sort of make it the step away from the real bare bones production and
right.
have a little bit, not anything too Hollywood, but somewhere in the middle where I can really have a crew that has different people to help out, you know,
right.
on all levels so I can focus myself.
Yeah, it's nice to have more people because you can you have more time then to really get the performance that you want, get the performance from the camera that you want. It's not just from the actors that you want. I mean, just money buys you time, basically.
It's true.
And
although I've been on a lot of film sets, I work in the film industry too, and I've been on a lot of film sets where there's been way too many people standing around by the craft service table.
Yeah.
And so I think there's a happy medium somewhere. I actually, my kind of ideal crew is to have, instead of 40 people who are waiting for two people to do their job so they can do their job, I'd rather have maybe six people that can do every job.
Right.
Like six UWM grads that can do every job, and they can switch in and out. Somebody's got to grab the boom pole. Like, anybody can grab that and mix sound for this scene if we need someone to jump in there. Or, okay, we really need this prop. Like, who can help design and build a prop? Like, okay, you can jump in over there and just
right.
sort of like the A-team of film production.
Yeah, no, that's great. And that's a great, it's like a good basketball team. All you need is a 5-man grip and electric and camera crew that you can do it all.
Yeah, and you can move a lot faster with a smaller
right.
team, too.
Right. Now, your film, Rocky Trails, is playing one night only?
One night only at the Oriental Theater.
At the Oriental
Theater. It's May 20th.
Right.
And 7 p.m.
7 p.m. May 20th.
Yep. And it should be a really...
On the big screen. Oh, good.
Which is sort of a dream come true of mine in this weird level. I mean, you know, I lived in Milwaukee for 8-9 years, and going to UWM, always going to the Oriental Theater and seeing films there and seeing my favorite movies playing that screen. So it's been sort of like this... It's this really great sort of end for this film, or this premiere for the film, is to get it back on the screen that I've watched so many of my favorite films play on. So.
No, that'll be a treat. So what's the next step for Rocky Trails?
The next step is really just to, I'd like to make a push in the festival circuit.
Okay.
Not necessarily like the big festivals, because I think it's a different style of film, but there's a great sort of underground horror and sci-fi convention following that.
Right.
People really get into these movies, and I think they're the people that still appreciate some of those sort of like bad 80s films and still, you know, treasure those and hang the posters on their
right.
walls. And that's sort of...
Well, there's a great... It used to be a festival. I know it still exists. It came from Lake Michigan down in Racine.
I think that's still around.
Yeah.
I've heard of that.
Good luck, and everybody should go see it at the Oriental. There's room for, I think, 1,000 people in that
big
theater.
Yeah, hopefully we can fill
it up. Friends and family, and then everybody who's friends of this.
Great.
Drew Rosas, thanks a lot. The movie's Rocky Trails, Oriental Theater, May 20th. So thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Yep. Bye.
Third Coast Digest is brought to you in part by 91.7 FM, WMSC Frontier Radio.